Mini episode 708 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 708. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Better Call Saul episode 2.6 titled Bally High. Here are the top five developments coming out of episode 2.5. Number five, boy, were we wrong about Slippin' Kimmy. Season one left the subtext of Jimmy and Kim's apparent non-relationship blank, but the season two premiere showed her charmed by Jimmy's grift with the expensive liquor bottle. But since then, it's been completely the opposite direction as the program has demonstrated that she's the complete anti-Saul in terms of her approach to work and the law. Every episode this season has demonstrated ever more emphatically how ill-suited she and Jimmy are for each other, as much as they obviously wish otherwise. All that remains at this point is to see how much more each tries to change the other, always a futile move. Number 4. Chuck's pettiness knows no bounds. Episode 2.5 was bookended by love interests of the McGill brothers. It's clear that Chuck has always harbored a grudge about his brother's ability to charm his better half, and now the older sibling is going to try to use his influence at HHM to rescue Kim and further poison her against Jimmy. Too bad for Jimmy that bile is not charged by electricity. Number 3, we need to learn more about how Chuck and Jimmy's dad lost his money. On the surface, Chuck presented a plausible story to Kim about how his younger brother caused their father to die of a broken heart. But because this show is always full of wrinkles and the writers clearly aren't going to reposition our sympathies back to Chuck at this point, there has to be more to the story. For somebody as streetwise as Jimmy, the scenario of paying protection money to crooks threatening the family business could well make sense, and it might explain why Jimmy felt that he couldn't explain to the family that he was actually trying to help them, not rob them. Number 2. At Davis in Maine, Jimmy's gone from favorite son to freeze out in record time. Jimmy's rash decision to run his commercial without permission has not only put Kim into internal exile at her workplace, it's led to him being shadowed by a self-righteous, rule-abiding wet blanket named Aaron. He gave Kim the "I gotta be me" speech in the season opener, but every week that goes by makes you wonder when or if he's going to realize the folly of his ways. He's chased the girl away, at least somewhat, and now he's poisoned the waters at a sweet job where people were really excited to have him come on board initially. Of course, by the time that he enriches himself as Walter White's consigliere, we'll know that he'll feel the acquisition of money justifies everything, but before he gets to that point, he'll surely have to confront all that his ethos is forcing him to leave behind. Number 1, the identity of the old man in the diner did ring a bell. Hector Salamanca has now invaded Mike's life, which we know is never a good or comfortable thing for anyone. Caught between the rock named Nacho and the hard place of a cartel-affiliated family, the man who will become the cleaner realizes too late that he was too clever by half in his painful acquisition of the money necessary to relocate his family. The road that Mike travels to Gus just got a lot more winding now that he's entangled with criminals that Gus will be playing a long game of retribution against. If Mike calls Saul, so to speak, to help extricate him from the situation, to keep Tuco's neck in the legal noose without obvious fingerprints, this scenario is going to be completely reminiscent of Breaking Bad before you know it. That sounds just fine to us. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Timeout. Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.